This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Texas is bracing for what could be the first Category 3 hurricane in over a decade. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick will join me with the latest on storm preparation and the evacuations taking place in the Lone Star State a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Also, the media opposition to President Trump has reached unprecedented levels. Members of the media are repeatedly questioning the president's mental stability. Well, following the president's speech in Arizona earlier this week, CNN's Don Lemon said the president was an unhinged liar. What are we to make of this blatant media bias? Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Business and Culture with the Media Research Center, will be here in just a moment with the answer. And the White House is set to release guidelines on transgenderism in the military. Military veterans are applauding the president for reversing one of the Obama-era radical social policies that was forced upon the military. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin explains the significance of the president's decision a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything on your way home, well, you can check it out later at TonyPerkins.com. Everything's archived right there. Let me remind you, coming up in April of this next year, we'll be taking a trip to Israel, and we invite you to join us. We'll have General Boykin will be with us, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Ambassador Ken Blackwell, and others, including Joel Rosenberg, New York Times bestselling author. To find out more about how you can be a part of this one-of-a-kind trip, go to TonyPerkins.com. Also, let me remind you, coming up, the Truth Conference, coming up September 15th and 16th at my home church right outside of Baton Rouge, Greenville Springs Baptist Church. To find out more, go to Truth2017.com. You can get all the information. Hope you can be there and be a part of that. All right. Tuesday night at the rally in Phoenix, President Trump, again, went after the media for its bias and a complete inability to provide fair coverage. And I can appreciate his frustration as I watch all of this unfold. There is no doubt that the media is biased against President Trump. It's well entrenched. They're no longer trying to hide it. Can anything be done about this? And how far might it go? Well, now, joining us now to talk about that, Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Business and Culture with the Washington, D.C.-based Media Research Center, good friends of the Family Research Council. Dan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. And this is certainly one of those topics that I think gets under the skin of everybody who's either conservative or just expects decent journalism, because we're not getting that. We're getting the media trying to take down Trump with increasingly vehement, vicious, and terrifying attacks. And when you say you think Trump is a bad guy, that's one thing. When you attack him repeatedly, it's another. When you come out and say Trump is mentally insane and unfit for office, you are calling for people in Congress to remove him. That's what they're doing right now.
And it's not just coming from one or two. It's becoming a cottage industry. I mean, you're seeing it everywhere throughout the media. In fact, I found it interesting, the editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal basically has been saying, hey, look, guys, report the news, don't give commentary. He's talking to his own staff, and he's been editing their pieces to make sure that they're not giving commentary. They're simply reporting the news. And he's being criticized by the other media because he's trying to get his journalists to do the job of journalists and not commentators when it comes to the president.
Yeah, the net result is they actually leaked his memos, which editor memos don't generally get leaked to other media outlets, to your competitors. And drafts of stories don't get leaked to your competitors. The media are trying to pitch it like he's got a revolution on his staff. What the problem is, these reporters look around the country. They see the Jim Acostas of the world. You know, Jim Acosta is auditioning for his own TV show, and it probably would have to be a comedy because it certainly couldn't be a documentary. He acts out like an idiot at the pressers. And all these reporters think that's what they're supposed to be now. If they want to become famous, if they want to become important in media. And
so
the only way to become important now is to attack Trump.
So is classic journalism lost? Have we lost that in this country when it comes to politics?
Well, I mean, I don't think we've lost it. I think it's always been worse than people wanted to admit. But if it's been, I don't think it's been lost. I think it's been stolen. I think the journalists who I worked with when I spent a couple of decades in journalism would have never acted this way.
Yeah.
But social media and internet and constantly changing deadlines and a declining industry have put pressures on journalists, and they've crumbled under them to the point now where you can't distinguish a typical journalist from a typical commentator. There is literally no difference except people in the industry think one is legitimate, one isn't.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There is no distinction. When you have reporters in particular who were, and I'm not talking about, nighttime cable news talk show hosts who, are there to commentate. I'm talking about news reporters who on their Twitter feed give their commentary on the story that they just wrote. I mean, there is no way you can maintain any level of objectivity when you're out there putting your spin on everything. And I think you're right. It's always been there. But now the curtain's been pulled back and the media is not even trying in any way to disguise their bias against this president. In fact, it would appear that anything goes.
Well, and unfortunately, when anything goes, everything goes. And all the conventions of how journalists are supposed to act are out the window. Instead of treating the president with respect, they treat the president as a guy who they see as the opposition. He ran a very anti-media campaign because, honestly, everybody in conservative or Republican politics for decades could have run the same campaign and gone to war with the press because the press is on the other side. Well, they didn't like losing. So they redoubled their efforts as soon as he won and took over. And from day one, literally from the first presser, they have been at odds with this White House. And it's now taken to the links where the lead story in USA Today today was talk of Trump's mental health spread. Well, you know who's spreading it? It's journalists.
Right, it's the media.
They're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Where does this go? I mean, how do we see this unfolding? Because the president certainly is not backing off, nor do I think he should. So does the media just continue until I think they lose absolutely all credibility and we see a further, splintering of the way people get their news across the country, that the mainstream media continues to lose their shares of the viewership?
Well, sooner or later, the prominent conservatives and Republicans need to stand united on this issue. When Chuck Todd puts on a guy who is advocating for Antifa, the anti-fascist group that believes it can go and beat you up if they don't like your opinion, when he puts that guy on twice in 1 week, and then on Sunday at Meet the Press, he puts the guy on debating with the head of the Southern Poverty Law Center, so a representative of one hate group debating with another liberal hate group, and all they're debating is whether you can use violence against conservatives or not. That's not responsible. That's inciting. It's doing the very thing that they claim that Trump is doing.
Right.
And, they're inciting people. At some point in time, conservatives have to stand up and say, Chuck Todd, we will no longer appear on any of your programs. We will no longer be interviewed by NBC, and we will encourage our supporters to contact your advertisers. If the media want a war, see, they don't just want a war with Trump. They want a war with everyone they disagree with, and that is more than 60 million people in this country.
Well, we saw that last week when CNN, in partnership with the Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization, which I repeat here once again on this program, that has been linked in federal court to an act of domestic terrorism, their hate map was put up on the CNN website. So it's clear that the media is facilitating and helping advance the narrative of the left, which is to the detriment of free speech and even the safety, which I thought was ironic because the media is now complaining that because Trump called the media sick, that they're now saying they fear for their well-being because people are turning on them.
Yeah, and they ran that hate map under the headline, "Here are all the active hate groups where you live," and proceeded to give a state-by-state breakdown of attacking conservative groups. You know, some of the mixing legitimate conservative groups with Nazi groups, because the left thinks everyone is a Nazi. And if you look at their signs and look at their statements, they think it's okay to punch a Nazi. That's where we are, and the media have dragged us there, and they need to take responsibility for their culpability in putting, frankly, you and I and everybody in the conservative movement at risk.
So let me ask you, Dan Gaynor, how does the average American push back against this media bias that is designed, I believe, to take down this administration and, you know, reestablish liberal rule in this country?
And I would go further, permanent liberal rule. Because This is what that's what they told people during the campaign, that this was going to be the pivotal election. They're going to win. The demographics had changed in the country. They were going to keep winning, and that was going to be it. So since they didn't win, when they're trying to overturn it, that's what they're looking for. What I would tell people is this. You can't fight the battle that you and I fight every day. That's a 24/7, 365 battle. So pick one battle. Pick one topic that you care about. Pick one show you want to watch, and you say, I'm going to target the advertisers. Heck, pick one advertiser. Go on, you know, watch the evening news site, CBS Evening News, or actually, let's pick NBC, or pick Meet the Press Sunday. Pick one advertiser on that show. Screen cap it, send a note to the advertiser, email them, call them, and make sure they know how you feel. And if you're not happy with them backing that, say, oh, by the way, I'm going to take this information to my friends when we get together Friday. I'm going to take it to my church on Sunday. I'm going to make sure I hand it out to the other parents I see at PTA. And we're going to tell people that we're never going to shop at your company again or watch your program again. That they've got to feel this. They've got to fear the right as much as they fear the left. And frankly, they don't, and for good reason.
Well, we need to put our money where our mouth is, as well as where our values are. Dan Gaynor, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
All right. Dan Gaynor with the Media Research Center. And folks, we've had him on the program before. It's called Second Vote. It's an app. You can download it. But what they do is they track all these different businesses. And I know we're jumping from media to business, but these big businesses support media. And it's just another way that you can basically make an impact with the way you spend your money. SecondVote.com, you can download the app and see where these various businesses, services, where they put their profits. And if they're against the values that you advocate for. We need to, look, we've got to help the president on this, pray for the president. But this is more than just this president. This is about the media wanting to control the country and recreate it in their image. All right, don't go away. When we come back, our favorite general is here. General Boykin joins me after the break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES. Families, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I keep a journal in my desk of every single person who has ever wronged me, a celebrity once confessed during an interview. This way I can look back, they said, and remember who is on my side. That's kind of unsettling, isn't it? If you and I kept a list like that, we probably wouldn't have many friends. But in contrast, 1 Corinthians 13 shows us what real friendship looks like. It says, love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And we see that kind of love best in Christ Himself. For those who belong to Jesus, the record of wrongs is torn up. Anchor Devotional is available at no cost. Just visit getanchor.com.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tawny Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, the White House is poised to issue new guidelines that would reverse one of the last policies put in place by the Obama administration as it pertains to the military. They had used the military as, really like a laboratory for social experimentation, treating our members of the military as if they were lab rats. Well, the memo reportedly will give the Defense Secretary, James Mattis, 6 months to implement the new policy that would preclude open transgenderism in the military, recruiting them and facilitating that. Joining us now is the Family Research Council Executive Vice President, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, a former commander of the Delta Force and a little knowledgeable after 36 and a half years about our nation's military and what it takes to win. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony.
All right. So your thoughts on what we understand the guidelines are going to be for the military as it pertains to transgenderism?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say from the little bit of information that we've got here, but I think that first of all, I think that this is the boldest decision that the president has made thus far, because he took on the LGBT community, and we know based on 5 years ago the shooting in our lobby by a homosexual activist that these people can be pretty vicious. Not that they all are, but I think it was a bold decision. I think what he's my understanding is, Jim Mattis is going to look at whether people are deployable. Can they go where they are sent and be prepared to fight the nation's wars and then other things like, or can they do exercise? Can they prepare for war? And then finally, one of the things that came out is, can they actually adapt to, for example, shipboard living as they're going through the process of changing their gender? And particularly after they've had the surgery.
This should not come as a major surprise because the president, or when he was a candidate, He spoke before a number of veterans groups and military individuals and pledged to repeal and to undo a lot of the social engineering that the Obama administration had engaged in. And as you mentioned, I think this is the boldest initiative that he has done thus far. But I guess the only shock for many is that he actually did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure that people are paying attention to this guy. I mean, if you just check off the things that he campaigned on and the things that he's done, or at least made a courageous effort to do, like repealing and replacing Obamacare, the guy is doing what he said he was going to do. And so I don't know why people are so shocked by this.
Now, there have been some, and I know you've been on a number of programs debating this already, as word of the president's policy is that's imminent, that it's coming out, that, you know, this is unfair, it's unequitable, that every American who wants to serve their country should be free to serve. How do you respond to that?
I respond this way. First of all, when you talk about fairness with regards to wartime or preparation for wars, you need to understand that there is no such thing in wartime. Certainly we live by the law. We live by a code of ethics. But the enemy does not care anything about your fairness. And I will tell you, it is hard to get my attention on this issue of fairness, because my third son wanted to follow in my footsteps and the footsteps of his two older brothers and serve in our army. And he was turned down because at 12 years old, he took Adderall for 6 months, and he was denied entry into our military. So I have no sympathy whatsoever for this whole issue of fairness when the military is looking for people that can go fight our nation's wars. And if they adjudged him to be unfit to go fight our nation's wars, then it would seem obvious that gender dysphoria would be a problem, too.
Now, the president says, General, that he sees himself as doing the military and the nation a great favor. Do you agree with him?
I do. I think he did. I think he, look, he took the heat. He took the whole thing on his own shoulders. So his generals and his other military leaders didn't have to take the heat. But he stepped up to the plate, fulfilled his promise to us as we sat with him out there in October of 2016, and did our military a favor because he has reminded everybody that your single mission is to fight and win the nation's wars. And if you can't contribute to that, you shouldn't be there.
So let me ask you this, beyond this issue of transgenderism, does this send a message to the military that's going to reverberate across, that maybe this is, in fact, a new era, and that we do see a military and a commander-in-chief that is returning to its core mission?
I believe that the military morale has improved substantially largely because of what you're talking about there. It's not just the fact that he stopped this insanity, as far as I'm concerned. But he's talked about our veterans, he's talked about our military, he's talked about restoring readiness. He has put his words into action, and I think that the message to our military is you've got to get back to what you were designed to do, and that's fight and win the nation's wars. And I'm going to underwrite it, and I'm going to give you what you need to include rules of engagement when you're in combat that will allow you to accomplish your mission.
Definitely a new day, given what we've seen in the last 8 years. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. He'll be on Fox News a little bit later this evening, talking about the same topic. All right. On the other side of the break, we're going to be joined by the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, going to call in, give us an update on what's happening in the Lone Star State. We've got a lot of listeners there in Texas, so we'll give you kind of the latest there, as well as folks across the country be praying. A lot of folks nervous. I know they are in my home area where we had all that rain last year. A lot of rain supposed to come with this storm. So we're going to be talking with the Lieutenant Governor when we come back. A little bit later, we'll be taking your phone calls as well. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the markets all closed in negative territory yesterday, and some are blaming a number of issues. One is Jackson Hole and what's going to come out of monetary policy, both from a Europe standpoint as well as here from Janet Yellen. There's a number of things, but I want to mention this because this is important, and I've not seen or heard a lot of talk about this. But yes, all the indices in negative territory, not a lot, not even a half of 1% by any of them. But one of the things that is interesting to know, that it's been the lowest volume of the year. Wednesday was the lowest volume day of the year. So there's no conviction to speak of on the downside. When we see low volume, we know the conviction is low. So we know that there's not a broad consensus in traders that markets need to move lower. That's not what that says at all. And it's important that we understand that. Low volume, so we're going to have to wait to see what happens from Janet Yellen and Mario Draghi as they speak at Jackson Hole. So low volume, low conviction. So there shouldn't be a lot of concern here. Also, oil seems to be stuck in a very tight trading range. And everybody's talking about glut in supplies. This is not a supply story. Make no mistake about it. The story, and I don't think it's ever going to shift because I seem to be the only one really concerned. The supply issue is because of a low demand and dwindling demand for the last 6 years. And the only thing that's going to fix supplies on a prolonged basis is going to be demand picking up. The only thing that's going to pick demand up is tax reform, infrastructure, a growing American economy, and that'll change the global outlook on supplies.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. All right, Hurricane Harvey is barreling toward Texas from the Gulf of Mexico and threatens catastrophic flooding. It could be the first Category 3 to hit Texas in over a decade. And a lot of great things about the Gulf Coast. Hurricanes are not one of them. Residents in the path of the storm are filling sandbags, stockpiling up water, boarding up windows, and being told to leave in some places. Joining us now is the Texas Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. Dan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always a pleasure, Tony.
All right, what do things look like there on the Texas coast?
Well, it doesn't look good right now, Tony, to be candid with you, and I've been in Texas since 79. I've been through a few of these. This is a different storm than most that have been big storms that hit us. From the standpoint of we were able to track them for a long period of time coming up the Atlantic and being prepared for it. This storm really didn't exist except the tropical depression over Cancun and the Yucatan of Mexico last weekend. And everyone thought, all the experts thought it would just die out going to Mexico. And then it's picked up steam in the last 72 hours. And now, actually, Tony, it could be a Category 4 when it hits. Right now it's projected to hit directly somewhere a little northeast of Corpus Christi, which is south of Houston, but about 8 hour drive south of Houston. However, Tony, the storm is a little unpredictable at this time. Again, it's gained great strength in 24 hours from a tropical storm to a Cat 1 to a Cat 2 to a Cat 3. And now, I mean, it's not at that level yet, but they expect that by landfall, a strong Cat 3 or Cat 4. But what makes this storm additionally dangerous than a normal hurricane is there's a tropical depression that's going to hang around for 3 or 4 days after the storm. Usually a hurricane comes, you know, moves on and dissipates. This storm could stay around, and we could get some areas somewhere between, and it's a big area, between San Antonio, Houston, and Corpus Christi, that triangle, even up to Austin. Some areas will get, you know, 10 inches of rain, some 15, some 20 inches. Some may get 30 inches or more in certain isolated areas. So a big hurricane and rain for maybe 4 or 5 days behind it.
And we know what those rains can do, as we've experienced that in
you've
Louisiana.
Experienced that personally.
Yeah, yeah. So what are you telling citizens in the path of this storm to do at this point?
Well, the one thing that I always remember is, it's been 8 years since Hurricane Ike, and we've had probably 30,000 to 40,000 people just in the Houston area move in since then. People people who have never experienced this. So we try to get them prepared to understand this is very serious. They could be flooded in their home for days without electricity, possibly depending on how high the wind gets in the Houston area. But wherever it is, people could be stuck in their home. So you need to be prepared with water and food to stay in place for a while. In fact, you might not be able to get out. We had a big flood, just a tropical storm 2 years ago, and I was flooded in my street for over a day. So people can get stuck. You could be without power. So I try to get them to be as much prepared as they can. But the most important thing, Tony, for me is to tell people, don't go to bed at night. And I don't know, you can recount your experience to me, because I don't know what the forecast was before you were flooded out, literally, of your home. In Hurricane Ike, that storm, people went to bed on Friday night, September 12, 2008, thinking it was going to hit, all the forecast that it's going to hit here. And that was like 9, 10 o'clock at night. People went to bed after the weather. They got up the next morning, and the storm had moved 50 miles northeast, roughly. And the people on an area called Bolivar Island, which is next to Galveston, which is more well-known, those people thought they were safe when they went to bed, and they woke up and the storm was on top of them. It totally decimated that island, and many people drowned right on the island in their home. So I try to alert people. You can't go to bed. When you have a storm this big and this powerful, when you go to bed at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, by the time you get up early in the morning, seven or eight hours can make a difference in that path of 15, 20, 30 miles. And that means suddenly you thought you were out of it, but you're now in the thick of it. And so that's what we try to remind people. Don't take this for granted. Be ready.
Well, we will check back with you after the storm to see how things are going and how folks across the country may help if needed. We pray that it won't be necessary, but we'll be praying for the folks in Texas. And I can encourage the folks in Texas. They got the best leadership at the top kind of guiding them through this. So we'll pray for your well-being and safety.
Hey, well, thank you, Tony. And you've lived through it, so you know. And we've lived through a lot of these storms, and we have a lot of veterans on the coast, but again, a lot of new folks. And these things are unpredictable, and Mother Nature is dangerous. And we appreciate the prayers from your audience for all of Southeast Texas right now. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you.
All right, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas. And folks, if you live in Texas in the path of this storm and you're new to this, you know, as he said, a lot of people have moved into Texas in recent years that have not experienced these storms. I remember Ike. It came right after Gustav in Louisiana, which was probably in many ways more significant than Katrina. I worked with the governor in distributing food through the churches in that one. We had almost three quarters of our state without power for a week. Things melt down pretty quickly. So he's absolutely right. You need to have food in your home, water, but be watching this storm very carefully, and watch out for flooded areas. Do not try to drive in flooded areas, and I can speak to that from experience as well. But folks, if you're not in Texas, be praying for those in Texas, our nation experiencing a lot of different storms. Prayer, something that we all can do. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation, and we're going to be taking some phone calls here in just a little bit here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of this Thursday edition of Washington Watch in just a moment.
Is there a cost to free speech? For nearly 40 years, Washington and much of the American public have held up disclosure and campaign finance laws as ideals and the path to cleaner and freer elections. In her book, The Intimidation Game, Kimberly Strassel provides firsthand accounts concerning how both have been hijacked by the left as weapons against free speech and free association, becoming the most powerful tools of those intent on silencing their political opposition. The book provides a chilling expose of political scare tactics and overreach, such as how Citizens United set off a wave of liberal harassment against conservative politicians and the targeting of Tea Party groups by the IRS. Listen to Ms. Strassel as she discusses about her national bestseller, The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech, which chronicles recent attacks on conservative nonprofits, businesses, and donors at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central. On American Family Radio.
American Family Association has been in ministry for 40 years, and we're celebrating with a special anniversary edition of the AFA Journal.
Hi, I'm Randall Murphy, editor of the AFA Journal. American Family Association founder Don Wildman often says, Christians are called to faithfulness, not success. This edition of the AFA Journal highlights 40 believers who have answered that call.
Start your subscription today at afajournal.org.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us. And I tell you what, invite friends to join us as well every afternoon, Monday through Friday, same time, same place. All right, a few odds and ends to pick up before we go to the phone lines. First, I want to again remind those that are within driving distance of the Baton Rouge area, September the 15th and 16th at Greenville Springs Baptist Church. We're going to have a truth conference. It'll be Friday night and Saturday. Alex McFarlane, who listeners of the American Family Radio Network will be familiar with him. Dr. Frank Turek will be joining us as well. Lauren Green from Fox News. Abraham Hamilton III will be joining us. Jeremy Daly will be doing the praise and worship, and I'll be speaking as well. All that's coming up September the 15th and 16th. To find out more, go to www.truth2017.com, truth2017.com. All right, something to be considering as Congress will be returning after Labor Day, the effort to repeal Obamacare. I think I mentioned this the other day, but it's still on life support. I mean, that repeal effort, it may very well happen. It could happen. I don't know what the probability is, but there have been those working across through the break to get this done. A new proposal that's been worked on by former Senator Rick Santorum, along with Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, to essentially block grant the monies that would go to pay for health care and give it to the states. So basically giving it to the states, repealing Obamacare, redirecting the funds to the states to administer that in the way that they see fit. Now, these block grant funds would be governed by Hyde, which the Hyde Amendment, which is attached to all the appropriations bills or has been, restricts funding for abortion. This proposal would also defund Planned Parenthood. So we'll be paying attention to that as Congress returns after the first of the year. Okay, another item. I just couldn't pass on this. This was in the New York Times today, highlighting a, and I'm going to quote from them, a blistering letter this week that was sent to the president of the Girls by the Girl Scouts of the USA, accusing the Boy Scouts of America of trying to undercut the organization through a covert campaign to recruit girls. This is Kathy Hanna, who is the president of the Girl Scouts. Quote, I formally request that your organization stay focused on serving the 90% of American boys not currently participating in Boy Scouts. Hannah added, it is therefore unsettling that BSA would seek to upend a paradigm that has served both boys and girls so well for the years. What she's referring to, for nearly 100 years, Boy Scouts have focused on Boy Scouts, or boys. Girl Scouts have focused on Girl Scouts. Well, what could have changed that? Well, let's see. The Boy Scouts, and here, let me just quote from the story. The Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts each have millions of participants. That's a stretch. But they have been buffeted by societal changes affecting youth organizations, leading to membership declines and forcing them to find new ways to attract members. The Boy Scouts have also had their own challenges and only recently started accepting gay scout leaders and transgender scouts after heavy criticism. Could it be that embracing these radical social ideas that are on the fringes of society has led to them losing members? I would say yes. In fact, it's interesting here. This is where this all leads. Okay. The Girl Scouts complaining that the Boy Scouts are trying to get girls into the Boy Scouts. Earlier this year, the National Organization for Women, this was in February of this year, the National Organization for Women was criticizing the Boy Scouts for not permitting girls to gain full membership in the Boy Scouts. I mean, go figure. This is where you go when you deny basic biology and you try to redefine gender and human sexuality. It's total chaos and confusion. It's bizarre. All right, I mentioned this at the top of the show, and I'm going to take some calls here in just a moment. This was Don Lemon. I've got this clip. Do we have that clip of Don Lemon? I want to play this clip. I made reference to it at the top of the program. And this is what I'm going to talk, what I'm going to open the phones on here for just a moment, about is it time to move on from the mainstream media and cable news media? This is Don Lemon from CNN the other night after the president spoke at the rally in Phoenix.
Well, what do you say to that? I'm just going to speak from the heart here. What we have witnessed was a total eclipse of the facts. Someone who came out on stage and lied directly to the American people and left things out that he said in an attempt to rewrite history, especially when it comes to Charlottesville. He's unhinged. It's embarrassing. And I don't mean for us, the media, because he went after us, but for the country. This is who we elected president of the United States, a man who is so petty that he has to go after people who he deems to be his enemy, like an imaginary friend of a six-year-old. His speech was without thought. It was without reason. It was devoid of facts. It was devoid of wisdom. There was no gravitas. There was no sanity there.
That's coming from the media. Wow. The objectivity of the media is gone. And is it time for Americans to move on and find other sources of news? I mean, As I said earlier in the week, I don't watch cable news very much. Occasionally I watch Fox, but not that very often. So is it time to move on? And should we do, as Dan Gaynor said earlier, begin to target some of these shows and go after their advertisers, letting them know we're not watching anymore because of the biased, blatant bias that we're seeing in an effort to take down this president and this administration? 866-372-7234. Going to have time to take a couple of phone calls, so dial quickly. 866-372-7234. Is it time to confront the media over this? The president certainly is. I mean, he called him sick. And I've never witnessed, and I've long been a long-time defender of the media as a I spent a couple of years as a television reporter. And as I told you, I wrote about them in the book that Bishop Harry Jackson and I did, defending even CNN. Those days are long gone. President Obama really pushed the envelope, and the media, you know, they were all in for him, and they began to really, in many ways, marginalize and demonize opponents of President Obama. And now they're using their platform to actually attack this president. And I do believe it's what Dan Gaynor said, is so that we can have a permanent ruling liberal government. They want to destroy the conservative movement. I'm convinced of that. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Tennessee, where John is on the line. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. You know, it is time that we can confront the media. There's no doubt about that. The thing that I think is that these companies that are advertising on these mainstream channels and stuff, I'm not so sure that they are being told the truth in numbers and ratings when they purchase their ad time, you know, for what they're wanting to get their product seen by so many people. And I'm not so sure that they really know the truth. I'm sure some of them do, but I'm not so sure all of them know the truth about that.
And that's probably true. That is probably true. But then, again, you have some corporations that are willingly wanting to willingly and eagerly pushing this liberal progressive, quote unquote, progressive agenda. And that you saw that with some of these corporate CEOs that peeled off of the president's various business councils. And I was actually talking to someone in the White House about that. And their comment was, that was one of the most significant things that happened, because by abolishing some of those business councils, we get rid of a lot of these corporate liberals who are no friend to the conservative movement. And that's one of the things I'm seeing now unfold here, is that the Republican establishment cannot stand this president. The Democrats, liberals can't stand him. And we've often said this, that there's usually been very little change between one administration, with Democrat, Republican. You know, the only thing that changes are the jerseys, the plays remain the same. Well, that's changed this time. This president is not on the string of any political party. I mean, he's aligned with voters that vote Republican, but he is not controlled by the establishment, and they don't like that. And that's why I think in looking at this and dissecting it, that's why we've not seen many changes in the past. And, of course, the media has been a part of that. Big corporations have been a part of that. John, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Georgia, where Francis is on the line. Francis, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on. I don't see any bias in the media, especially on CNN. There's no bias there, because the same things that are being said on CNN are being said by House and Senate Republicans. So I don't see how you guys consider it biased, because other Republicans, prominent Republicans, are saying the same thing that CNN is saying. I think the problem is evangelicals are expecting too much. I think the evangelicals are expecting something that is not happening.
Expecting?
Yes.
What do you mean?
You're expecting people to be almost worshiping Trump like Robert Jeffers did. That's not going to happen.
I'm not expecting people to worship Trump. I'm expecting them to treat him as the president, as the media did President Obama.
They're treating him the same way he treated Obama.
There's no way you can make that statement.
Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why before I leave?
Go ahead.
When President Obama had the issue with radical Islamic terrorists, President Trump said he should have used those words. The media is expecting Trump to do the same thing when there is domestic terrorism, and he's not doing it. And that's where the Charlottesville problem comes in. They are holding him to his words and to the standard that he held Barack Obama.
I don't see it. I don't see it, Francis. I just don't see it. I mean, I see how the media gave Barack Obama pass after pass whether it was the Fast and Furious, whether it was the IRS and Lois Lerner, whether it was Benghazi, they twist every word this president says. And look, I don't agree with this president on everything. I would have handled a lot of these things a lot differently. But they can't control him. They can't influence him. He doesn't listen to them, and that bothers them. Many of them. All right, I've got to work in another call here. Let's go quickly to Walter in Oklahoma. Walter, welcome to Washington Watch.
All right, thanks, sir. I think the media is twisting everything. That deal that you gave where the reporter was talking, he did not give any news. He did not even say what the president said. Everything he said was a opinion. That's lazy reporting. We don't ask for somebody to give opinion. But to the second thing, people talk about Trump failed. Trump did not fail. But Kamala, I think Republicans are so afraid of having to make a vote because it revealed that they made in that beautiful Republican platform that they actually would have to vote. That, and then it revealed that some of them are for Planned Parenthood, some of them are for immigrants, the cheap labor, some of them are really against the wall being built. And if they remove that filibuster, it'll show that they made empty promises, not expecting a president like Trump to say, let's get things done, mm-hmm. instead of doing it the old way. You know, so I think, and for them to blame Trump for not getting accomplishments, I think that's idiotic. I hang up and let you speak.
All right, Walter, thank you for the call. I don't think anyone expected a president that would actually do what he said he was going to do. That never happens. I mean, I think it's a different time. And again, I don't support everything this president does, but he has embraced a conservative platform, and he has, as General Boykin said earlier, more than anyone I can recall, has been systematically working to deliver in spite of both political parties that have been against him. And to that point that Francis said, I do believe that you have Republican establishment politicians who have opposed this president and tried to undermine his presidency. I would encourage folks to continue to pray for him and for our country. We are, I don't need to tell you, we've got some problems and some issues. All right, folks, we're just about out of time. Not going to be able to get to the rest of the calls. Still a lot to come in the coming days. I'm going to, that last point that Walter brought up about the filibuster in the Senate, I'm going to spend some time talking about that in a couple of weeks when the Senate returns, kind of the pros and cons of that. So anyway, out of time. Folks, thanks for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, you got it. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.